I guess we can got a few more coming in, so.
It looked like there's about four up there at the top, if you can walk upstairs. Al will sell his front row seat for $100, right?
A little louder.
A little louder.
Does that go in a bag with the rest of the money you've been getting every week? All right, I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, where are you at? If you'll just come to Mike. Tim Harry has got a couple of things he wants to share with us, something I think all of Orange Beach should be really, really proud of, and that's the Children's Rescue. Tell us a little bit. And Angelo Fermo.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate them very much.
My name is Tim Harry. This is Angelo Fermo, my partner. He's a founding member of Homeland Security. I brag about that because we're just really blessed to have him. And in 2019, we came to Orange Beach, Alabama. We asked Tony if we could do some training here. So every year we've brought our teams that rescue kids from sex and labor slavery all over the world. And we do our specialized advanced training right here in Orange Beach, Alabama. And we come give the analytics every year of what we've accomplished, kind of a report card because of all the commitment Tony and the council and the community makes to us. Are they all just hosting us and just making us feel welcome? In Ghana last year, we rescued 30 children from sex and labor slavery. In Pakistan, that's crazy. Pakistan, 52 children. Nepal, 95 children were rescued. And there's a really special number on here, the 31 traffickers that were arrested. This is a border project that we created. And what this is where the children are promised a modeling career or they groom them away. And we catch them on the border before they're trafficked. So that 31 brings us to over 200 women and children that were recovered before they were trafficked. So that's a huge, it's very special to us. Bringing our total, Tony, to 2,500 rescue kids, over 2,500 rescue kids since 2009. And when we started this together, it was at 2,100. I'm not sure if you remember that number.
I do.
So together, the Orange Beach community and the city and the council and then our mayor, Tony, we've together rescued over 400 women and children from modern-day sex and labor slavery, and there's a real rescues. We put some pictures on there just in case somebody wants to see exactly how we do it. Tony tasked us with about a year and a half ago. He came to me and Angelo and said, hey, I want to start something right here. So him, along with Angelo and Ember Brown, we started Silent Night Rescue to go after some of the things because it's a little different here in the United States than it is overseas. This year, in our first year in operation, we assisted in four recovery runaways. One assisted in a recovery kidnapping and also caught two predators right here in Baldwin County. So, on behalf of the Children's Rescue Initiative and the Silent Night team, we want to thank you for your continued commitment, and we couldn't do this without the training. And the training, there's not a lot of people reaching out trying to train people to go overseas and do things that other people just simply don't want to do. So we really appreciate you, Tony, and I'm going to shift gears a little bit. If you'll move the next slide, Mark.
Let me say this. It's the least the city of Orange Beach can do, considering y'all put yourselves in harm's way for these kids. Well, yeah. So it's the least we can do. So no, thank y'all.
It's a team effort. We sure appreciate you.
Yeah. But a good combination is you also coach with the shooting team.
Yes. So we
that might come in handy, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. In 2022, we founded a shooting team. Again, we brought something to the council. Annette Mitchell and I was talking about it, and we brought it to Tony, and Tony said, hey, let's do it. Council got on board and said, so we started the Orange Beach shooting team. In 2023, we had four state championships. In 2023, we had four. In 2024, we had three. And after the city and council built us our own skeet range, which is unheard of because there's no city-owned skeet ranges. So this was taxing for Jamie Logan, for Fort Hanley, for the finances, Coastal Resources, Philip West. We've got Woody. I mean, it took the whole city to make this really impossible thing happened. And in our first year with our own field in 2025, we doubled our state championships from 7 to 14. And we achieved what we was set out right before we left. I told Tony I wanted a team, and we actually won team skeet and team trap, or team sporting clays, which is it's a big deal because our team together cumulatively shot better than the other teams, and they're competing against 15 to 25 teams in the state. So it's a really big deal. There's two really exciting things that we had developed that I really wanted to recognize is Rivers Looney is our first this year. He has just achieved his master class, and that is a classification. If you're not familiar with classification of shootings, there's shooters that shoot their whole lives in sporting clays, and they never achieve master class, and Rivers did it at 15. So that's pretty amazing. And our achievement when we started this skeet team, we really wanted to get kids involved and get them scholarships to get them on teams in college. You know, when I was a kid, they didn't have those teams. Now they do. And we just had our very first shooter accepted to the Auburn University sporting clay shooting team, and that's Miss Ella Floyd. And she's up here, right there.
Good talk.
And she.
Congratulations, Ella.
That's a great job. So I just really tickled to death that it's happened this fast, and it's all because of the work, hard work that y'all, the whole city's put into this city and into the skeet range and the activities that the kids do, and I'm just very thankful and blessed, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you,
y'all. Tony.
Yeah, and Angelo, thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you, both.
You, buddy. The skeet and trap team is sort of an example of how we're trying to find a niche for every child that doesn't necessarily fit the traditional sports or theater model. So we've got 22 or 23 different activities of some type, I think, which is more than most 7A schools do. But arts are just as important as athletics, and the children who don't fit into either one, we're trying to find places for them with either a fishing team, sailing team, sport, clay team, whatever it may be. But they're all important and all special, so thank y'all. All right, a few household items that I don't really want to talk about, but the roundabout. Please be aware, golf carts do not have the right of way. A golf cart and a 4,000-pound SUV is not a good match. So you do not have the right of way. Bicyclists, you do not have the right of way. The only one, because it really, when people stop to let them cross, assuming that they have the right of way, it really, really affects our traffic flow. So the only ones that have right-of-way is a pedestrian, and that's if the pedestrian's in the crosswalk. If the pedestrian is walking up to the crosswalk, it's their responsibility to stop and make sure it's clear. Okay, is that clear? Clear as mud. And please, if you're driving through the roundabout and you're going to make the circle, turn your blinker on. It really helps. It really, really helps. All right. Electric bikes and scooters. It is probably the most commented on thing for us of everything that's going on right there with the Pirate Theater. But the fear is it's not grumpy old men like me fussing about kids on scooters. It's the fact that scooters are doing 30 miles an hour where my bike used to do 10. And someone's going to get hurt really badly. I have come close. I don't think there's anybody in this room that has not come close to hitting someone. And I don't know what to do. Other cities are looking into it. We're going to look into it. We're going to come off as being the bad guys, picking on kids. Kids just want to, you know, have fun. But I really would not want it on my conscience that we didn't do anything whatsoever and a child was severely injured. And I hope everybody will understand. We are going to require helmets. We're going to look in to see what is required as far as the rules of the road go. And we're going to have to start giving tickets. And it's the same thing with children on golf carts. They're hard to find. But they're out there, but hard to find. But please understand, it is absolutely a necessity that we take this on. Did you have something you'd like to add, Mr.?
You hit the nail on the head. I was at a family function this weekend, and one of the Orange Beach residents came up to me and said, Jeff, it's the first time I've ever met you, but I got to tell you something about these electric bikes. I'm afraid I'm going to hit somebody when I'm taking my son to school. And we've all witnessed it. And when you have a 25-mile-per-hour residential street and the kids are zooming past you doing 40 miles per hour, enough's enough. We've got to educate the kids, okay? And it starts at home, just about like anything. You got to educate your kids. Please educate your kids. Slow down. Be careful. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Well, I wish I'd had one when I was a kid, but... All right. No signs in the right-of-way. This has been on the book for a long time. We've sort of just live and let live. But with the last elections being in a row the way they have, real estate taken off the way it has, signs in the right-of-way have proliferated to the point that not only has it become tacky, it is it's inefficient and ineffective for our right-of-way grass cutting and cleaning teams, as they have to either dodge them, pull them up, and then put them back up. We've had many complaints about them in the right-of-way, and the way we look at things is if we get a complaint, if it's just one person, and we investigate into that complaint and it's valid and there is a violation, we cannot turn our head. That's an ethics violation. We have to follow the ordinance. So I just want to give everybody heads up that the right-of-way is generally the telephone pole line, and if the telephone pole is on the other side, it's your water meter. So anything between your water meter and telephone line to the street is right-of-way. No signs allowed of any kind, any kind. And we're cleaning up the sign ordinance now to deal with future elections as well. But I know during my election, you give signs out to friends. They don't know any better. They stick them everywhere. Mine was all over the place. And it got to be just as much of a headache of chasing down the ones that wasn't supposed to be there as it was putting signs out. So we understand that, and we're going to work through it so that all real estate agents absolutely know the rules and all candidates know the rules going forward. So, and it goes for anniversaries and birthdays and open house and what else? Yard sales, garage sales, et cetera, et cetera. It's really funny how many signs go up on Friday afternoon at 5:01. But we're stuck with taking them down Monday morning at 7:01. So please understand, we're not being mean. We're just dealing with the necessity of keeping the place looking good. All right, first I'm going to talk about things we've gotten done and projects that's on the books and explain those. Then I want to go into financial philosophy and going forward. What does that look like? What should it look like? And then lastly, I want to take the Pirate Theater project and use it in an educational form of showing everyone how a project is submitted and the process that it goes through and zoning. What does zoning mean? What are the options? What options do the council have in approving or denying? But at least my goal is when you leave here tonight, you'll know the facts and all the options. And then you can form your own opinion based on at least correct information. So 4.5 new miles of multimodal, I think is the word. We can't call it a golf cart path, can we? That's illegal. So multimodal pass from Beta Launch to the roundabout, and then from Oak Street to Wharf Parkway East. That was a total of about $7.5 million. It took longer than we thought. It turned into a nightmare, but it's done. This is the bypass, the urban myth. It's funny. Mark looked it up. The first time I presented this was in 2017. Now, if that doesn't tell you how inefficient and ineffective state and federal government is, I don't know how to help you. But myself, Robert Kraft, went to Washington, met with Coach Tuberville, and Coach Tuberville called in the President Trump's new commandant of the Corps of Engineers, and really gave him a good talking to. So they sped things up. It is now leaving ALDOT, moving back to the Corps for final approval. They have to go through all the wetland studies and all the issues because it's going through the wetlands. But we actually see the light at the end of the tunnel. It is paid for. It was a part of a negotiated contract with the state when the toll booth went away. We were a signatory on that contract. So our, I don't want to say demand, but our demand was we wanted the bypass moved to the top of the list and paid for, and I think they gave us $5 million cash. Is that right? So for improvements. So anyway, it's coming. It's coming, and I think it will make all the difference in the world in avoiding that bottleneck at docks, because it's going to be two lanes south and two lanes north, veering to the south there at Big Mike's and entering back in where you see there just, you know, a little bit north of Dollar General. So everything north of that 161 that goes to docks becomes more local traffic. Everything from Canal Road at the intersection at Mike's on the old Canal Road all the way to the roundabout hopefully will be more local traffic. We'll be able to reduce the speed limit so that golf carts can travel there, especially in that spot where you don't have the continuation of the sidewalk. And all this property we purchased there on the south and north side, hopefully that becomes something for public use. And I'm sure this is something, we've got ideas, but it will all be hopefully vetted with the public and their thoughts and what can we do with it and what we would like to do with it. But we've purchased about $60 million worth of property over the years. We grabbed it when it was at the bottom of the financial crisis, and every time there was a recession, we grabbed as much as we could. But the property we bought always had a purpose. We can't buy a property without a specified purpose and a plan. Okay, the new bridge. I want to tell you there's a detour, but I'm scared to tell you there's a detour because I don't know if they got their act together, but supposedly County Road 8 will take you to 59 to takes you back over the bridge at 59. You come back Canal Road. That'll be Sunday of Mother's Day at 7 in the morning till Wednesday or through Wednesday. Through Wednesday, so I guess Thursday you'll be able to come back down over the new bridge, which hopefully will open up Memorial Day, or will it open up next Thursday? I know I had to do what? Okay, I'm talking to my bridge expert. The bridge had an issue, and we weren't sure whether they going to get it resolved by this coming Sunday or not, but it is. That's what we've told. So here's the detour. Thank you for that. It's County Road 8, pretty straightforward. So please be aware, if you head north on Sunday, who knows how long it might take you to get back. I don't know. If you can find your way back. I hate y'all got to go through Gulf Shores. Anyway, all right, this is something that's been on the books for several years. We've been negotiating for several years. And it's a bit complicated. We bought the event center some time back for $1.6 million. We got it at a steal back in the banking crisis years. And we've got about $2 million in it. And we can sell it to the wharf for $5.5 million. Then we can get $1.5 million loan from tax credits, interest-free. And then the new Civic Center will run about $12 million, we hope. So there's a $5 million difference, give or take, if I did my math right, $4.5 to $5 million. But part of that is everything that takes place in the community center now on the campus there at the fitness center, we get to move that to the Civic Center, and we get now another free building, the use of a building. It's already ours, but it's spoken for with outside events. And we really, really need that space. So that's probably a $2 million building, the community center, or more. So we're down to about a $3 million, $4 million investment in a brand new civic center that will seat about 400 people, give or take, standing probably around double that. The reason we looked at this is there's becoming a greater conflict between commercial use of the event center and use by our community, our civic community, and our favorite charities, et cetera, et cetera. There's conflicts in the prices, and it's really getting difficult to make room for everybody. With Margaritaville coming on, they will be promoting conferences even more so. So the commercial side of the event center, it makes sense to give it to them alongside the hotel, completely commercialized. Rates will go up. Our taxes will increase off of retail and lodging. We now have a civic center, not an event center. There won't be cheerleader competitions and gymnasts and volleyball. It will be for our folks, our the garden club, the tennis club, whatever, but it'll be more for us without all the conflicts. So we think having two, and we have so little money in it, over the course of a 20-year period, the taxes increased at the wharf may actually pay the difference of the $4 to $4.5 million that we're going to have to put into it. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense to you. But that's something that we have on the books and been on the books for several years, but I think we're just now getting to the point where we can finalize that.
Mayor, yes. When you hit on the graduation, there's a lot of questions about where our graduation ceremonies are going to be and what we've worked out.
Yeah, all of the events at the event center, school-wise, some other special events will be guaranteed their same date and spot at the event center. That's written into the contract. Thank you for bringing it up. I'd forgot about that. Okay, infrastructure. Like we have the medians in front of Walmart and Coastal and down through there, which was inconvenience for all of us local folks who knew the back channels and back ways to get around. The state is going to install those around Zeke's, or a little bit to the west of Zeke's, going to the bridge. And the reason is the same reason we had to do it in front of Walmart and Publix and all. Too many head-on collisions, T-bone collisions. Now, as inconvenient as the medians are now, the T-bones and head-ons have essentially been eliminated completely. So, yes, it is inconvenient, but it really is, from a safety perspective, made a huge difference in very serious accidents. This is our new welcome signs. I hope you like them. This is our first responder safe room. It was grant money for the most part. It was a $5.84 million grant, $650 to us. It's a first responder safe room for storms and a training center for the police department, and it's going to be at the shooting range. This is our fire rescue training center. It's a big deal. Firemen probably could tell you far more about it than I can, but it's a huge, huge deal to not only our guys, but to firemen pretty much from everywhere, right? A lot of different units come. Okay. It will be behind Fire Station 1. I think I'm not going to make... Can't make the joke anymore about no LSU flag because half of Orange Beach is LSU now. So maybe Auburn. Sorry, I missed the Auburn flag. But this is what our beaches look like, used to look like. And I think at some point, I mean, I was here when it was the Redneck Riviera and this was who we were, but that has changed. And just the pure numbers dictated that we do something different, as well as protecting our natural resource, the beach. So you see, every morning it is graded and cleaned, and everything at sundown is taken up and thrown away if it's left. Waterways and shoreline, everywhere we have in the cities, the Back Bays, Terry Cove, Arnica, but all over, our coastal resources guys are out there picking up tons, literally tons of trash and debris. This is at Terry Cove Harbor Drive by Regions Bank, and the exit out of City Hall where our emergency vehicles exit. We've had issues with golf carts crossing and running head-on into the two lanes to my right, I guess your right. So the state is putting in an alternative route for golf carts. that will take them directly to the north-south sidewalk without running into head-on into traffic or any emergency vehicle coming down the road. So we're trying to make sure there's places to cross. So please don't cross in the middle of a 5-lane without it being either lighted or some type of structured crosswalk, because you will get a ticket for doing that. Quality of life, our parks and recs have knocked it out of the park. I mean, too many things going. I think most of y'all have probably attended something they've done. I can't say enough for those guys, Nicole and her whole crew. And then you got Public Works that support them, but I appreciate y'all, and I'm sure everybody here does, I hope. We have 13 pickle port. How many? We got one more than Gulf Shores. So, yeah, I ribbed Robert a little bit on that Friday, but then he reminded me he has two more seats in his auditorium than we do. So we got to figure out somebody's going to have to get skinny. But anyway, grand opening is May 7th at 10 a.m., and please come out. But we're very excited. I don't play pickleball, but I have broken up more fights between 70-year-olds on a pickleball court than on any other thing I've done. They take it very serious. This is our new pool complex. We're going to create a lap pool for the swimming team and lap swimmers. And then our current recreational pool is run out of life. So we're going to have to redo it with sprinkler? The splash pad, yeah, splash pad. So this is going to be really nice. That's about a $12 million capital cost. But hopefully that's going to be done at the end of 27. Then on the right is the rec campus. We're making some changes there. All the black is additional parking or parking that's been improved. We're making a considerable number of spots for golf carts. A lot more parking. Adding 4 tennis courts and what else? But it's a lot. And then next door, we were blessed. The Conternos, Joan and Mike, brought to us their 9 acres right next door. I think we got a slide. And if you haven't been back there, you wouldn't even know you were in Orange Beach. You'd think you're in getting somewhere in the mountains or something. But it's 2-acre lake, really manicured. Yeah, this doesn't do it justice, but it is beautiful. And the house we renovated, and it is Parks and Rec's office place because they had no offices. Our Expect Excellence is still booming. 458 children after school, 200 summer camp, 107 in MACO Advanced Athletics. So it's still free to every resident, parents, and it's really been a tremendous asset to preparing our kids for middle school and high school. Yeah, and the staff is unsurpassed. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This is our shooting complex. On the top, you see our trap and skeet. And this will be open to the public, and we will host tournaments. We've already got a significant number of inquiries from very high-end, high-quality. Again, I don't know the lingo, but very special groups that put on skeet shooting tournaments, they want to be here. The rifle range to go with our pistol range is under construction. We hope to have 10 rifle lanes, 300 yards deep. All that will be open to the public. To the left is the Gulf Coast Engineering Research Station. This is managed by Auburn University. But almost every major university in the state of Alabama has agreed to come on and wants to be part of it. And they will do all type of engineering studies, research, et cetera, et cetera. They will invite the public in, and they're going to team up with our students so the students have access to their labs and research protocols, things of that nature. On the right is our sea turtle triage coming in 2026. So we're excited about being able to bring a turtle in, put it on life support, and then hopefully, or whatever, and then triage it to where it can be dealt with. Maybe CPR. I don't know CPR. I don't know. Have y'all ever done CPR on a turtle? No? Okay. Might be hard. I get you. Man, I am giddy today. All right, Wildlife Center. I think we're all extremely proud of this. 865 intakes, 1,385 log calls. So y'all can imagine the gamut that runs, everything you can imagine. And we have a tremendous number of intrinsic species right here. You know, as crowded as we see it is, but when you get in the air and you see that the state park is 6,000 acres, we really forget about just how much beauty and how much of the natural environment is still left. Has nothing to do with us growing, I get that, but a lot of people have not been able to just see just how much is back there. It's unbelievable. This is the Charm facility on Russian Road. It's us partnering with the county for a recycling center. So hopefully that's going to help us do a better job with recycling those things we cannot now. Kids Park, shades. I think shades have been asked for some time now, and Councilman Harrelson put that on the top of her list. So we took that and ran with it, and I appreciate her leading the charge on that.
Thank you.
I said all the kids were sissies to need shade, so I got overruled. Quality of life, our city schools are beyond reproach. They're beyond any expectation any of us could have had in 3 years of existence. Number two in the state. I don't know how you say it any better. Our elementary school, a 99. I think that was only one or two in the state. Our athletic facility is second to none. I think we're all hopefully proud of that. It is. It gives all of our athletes. It's not just football. It gives 80% of our kids are involved in some type of extracurricular. 80-85%.
Mayor, can I interject? Mayor, I apologize. Can I interject? Can we go back to high school, middle school? Keep one more. Y'all, this right here, I'm gonna stand up and thank a teacher and administrators in our school board for carrying this through and getting to this level in this short period of time. Thank you so much, I appreciate it. Elementary school, Mayor.
You're mumbling.
Elementary school.
I can't hear.
Stand up, Cindy. Stand up, come on. Cindy Hart, new principal. Yeah. I said I wasn't going to do that to her, but thank you. Thank you for your teachers and your administrators, and I can't say enough. Thank you so much, because you really get it done. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, Mayor, you got it back.
Yeah, thank you. You look like you wanted to say a few words, Cindy, did you? No. Okay, you good? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Silvers, for reminding me. Okay. I'm going to kick off into growth now. And again, a lot of this is philosophical. A lot of this is, okay, what do we do? I mean, I think we all have ideas of what's going on, where we want to go, but how do we find consensus and find a common path? This is our sewer index. The sewer index is by far the most accurate indicator of how many folks are here. And essentially, since 2021, it's gone up every year. The last 12 months, it's just booming. It's booming. You know, it's funny, too, because when I say growth, everybody's got a different, you know, you got developers over here and some folks, not all developers are bad guys, but they don't live here, and they want to develop every square foot of every piece of property. And then you got on this side the person that just drove across the bridge that wants to blow it up behind them. And then you got the person living in a condo screaming about a condo being built next door on property that was owned 30 years for condo. And then you got the person who moved here yesterday, and this morning they're screaming, there's too many people here. Yeah. And then I remind them that day before yesterday, we didn't want you here. So I think y'all sort of get the grief and the conundrum that we're all in and trying to figure out what does growth mean and what is coming. So what can we do to mitigate it, moderate it, and what can we tolerate? Because we know the summer is a difficult time, but the trade-off is all the stuff. So, you know, we're really in good financial shape, $100 million in cash and reserves. Our assessed property value has jumped to $2.08 billion. Current debt is really low at $125 million at 3%. We're actually making money off of that. We have a $300 million plus capacity of debt if we wanted to. But here's the but. Expenses continue to rise. Capital expenses, capital costs, capital repair, capital replace continues to go up. We have no idea what the inflation rate is going to be, it seems like, from year to year. The national economy really affects us in such a significant way because the national economy dictates how much discretionary income our visitors have. So this year they may come with an $8,000 weekly budget, and next year they may only have $5,000. That affects every one of us, retail, lodging, and it's something that we have to be concerned about. And I'll get back to that, but as mayor, and I think our councilmen feel the same way, we're stewards of our quality of life and we want to protect it and add to it. But me, I don't consider myself a mayor. I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself a CEO of a $120 million company with 700 employees and millions of customers. And this is my board of directors. And that's the way we run this city. And our decisions are made on numbers, facts, correct information, and what we think is best for the big picture, not today, not yesterday, but the 10,000-foot view. And it's easy to say no more growth, but that's impossible. So again, that's why we're here. I'm going to give you, and please forgive me if you've heard this story before, but in 08, when I walked in as mayor, we were at the height of the financial crisis. City of Orange Beach was in the red. We were borrowing money from the sewer department reserve fund to make payroll. We were a bloated bureaucracy who thought the good times would never end, and they did. And there's a guy sitting in this audience who was there at that time. It was hard. 3 weeks into it, I had to lay off, terminate, or early retire 40 employees. And back then, our employee workforce was only half of what we have today. So that was a significant number of folks to get us back in the black. We completely reorganized the city from top to bottom. A lot of people went to places they didn't necessarily want to be. A lot of folks were doing more or different from what they used to do. I was by far the most hated man in Orange Beach, but it was a necessary evil. 2009, by the end of 2000, we were back in the black. We had a more efficient, lean workforce, and we had established fiscal, financial discipline for the city for all departments going forward, because who would have thought the next year, 2010, was the oil spill? So thank God we were in a surplus position and in a good situation to get through that, because it was an extremely, extremely tough time. And like I said, the good times do not always roll. So we have to make hay while the sun shines when we can. Our quality of life in this town is directly related to the tourism dollars. This building, ball fields, library, pools, it's all about the dollars. Because I don't necessarily see cars, I see dollar bills. And I hate to say that, but from my perspective, that's what I have to see and look for in trying to keep this place afloat. Because eventually, expenses do this, capital costs do this. if we don't pay attention to the flatlining of our revenues, they will intersect. And when they intersect, that changes everything about our life and our quality of life. I have been there. I was there when it happened, so I know what it feels like, and I don't want to go there again. How do you keep that from happening? That is truly a matter for debate, for conversation, and everybody's probably got different views. The business of tourism is unique, with the ability to fly and to go all kind of places, including out of the country now and cruises. You have to stay on top of your tourist destination. Walt Disney World, Universal, everybody is constantly bringing in new roller coasters, new stuff, because they know if they get stale, people will quit coming and find something new and fresh, a new trinket. Innovative, creative, and constantly evolving is something we have to pay attention to. Not saying that the project on the table is the way to do it, don't know. But I'm just saying we have to pay attention to the product that we offer so that we keep the revenues above the expenses. So what have we done in the past? I'm going to digress. Life is better here, clean, safe, and protected. I mean, I think everybody knows how hard we try to work. We have an outstanding police, fire department, emergency medical services, outstanding public works, an employee base across the board that absolutely takes pride in working for the city of Orange Beach. We keep our beaches pristine because they are pristine, and we are very serious stewards of our natural resources because that is the revenue source. I don't consider us radical environmentalists, but I consider us very serious conservationists. And by that, I mean we find a way to make recreation and the environment work together, and it's not one or the other. Vulgarity ordinance is in place. They did that some time back. Many cities have adopted that ordinance, our ordinance. Believe it or not, the city of Key West adopted our ordinance. They want to be more family friendly. So the mayor called me and we talked about it at length. And I never thought in a million years that would happen, but she called me back and said they did pass it. So they have a goal of becoming family and using us as a model. We've limited body piercing, tattoo parlors, title loan, check casting, palm readers, mystics, and pawn shops. Now, I buy all my guns at a pawn shop, so I got nothing against pawn shops. But the point is, with these types of businesses lined up down Canal Road or the beach, it's not an air of prosperity. I mean, it's just not. It's not who we are. So I get it when you say that's not who we are. No MTV style spring breaks, no takeovers, results of our no-tolerance policy, no pour-outs, no do-overs, no mulligans, is in the last 3 years you see 61, 32, 75 arrests, when in 16 it was 594. So the message of we're not going to put up with the nonsense is getting out there. But the good thing is, and I caught grief early on for us going on this campaign from the businesses because they thought that was going to hurt their spring sales. If we be patient, we will backfill all this with families. And this spring break was probably the busiest we've ever had with the least amount of problems and the most families here. And that's our new police car. I don't know if you like that or not, but it looks sort of like Miami Vice. But we are a sanctuary city. Got to make sure you guys know that. For families. Going to stay that way. So whatever it takes, I think as long as I'm mayor and these guys are here, I think we're committed to that. All right, growth or no growth, somewhere in between. Again, a couple of the comments I saw was, it's always about the money. It's always about the money. Well, yeah, it is always about the money because somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to pay attention to the money. So, yes, money matters. Revenues matter. Then another one was, how much money is enough? I don't have enough, but I don't know anybody can say how much is enough. I know most of us that have been a CEO or a business owner, we don't go to bed at night reaching a certain dollar amount of revenue and say, oh, that's it. No more sales, no more marketing. We good, it's going to be good from now. No, we wake up, we go to bed worrying, are they going to come back tomorrow? And that's what I go to bed worrying about, is next year going to be as good as this year? And what could happen? So it's not money for greed. It's not money for status. It's money because that's how you run a business. Not every source of money is a good source of money. We understand that. But to ignore your revenues while you know the expense side is continuing to rise is fool's gold, fool's play. We got lots of stuff, lots of free stuff, but ain't nothing for free. Somebody's got to pay for it, and we're blessed enough, our revenues come off that beach and from our tourists. So we got a lot of stuff for an 8,000-person community. I don't think there's anyone in the country with 8,000 permanent residents could say they have what we have. We have low property taxes for our residents, homestead, for that reason. Property taxes are 4 meals. It could be 5 meals, but we could vote another meal in tomorrow. But we leave it at 4 meals because our 4 meals are high. But when you're comparing it to 8 to 12 to 30, we got a good deal on our property taxes for those of us that live here. So how much growth is too much? Legally, what can we do? In that question becomes balancing tourism and quality of life and trying to keep tourism and community separate. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but I think every one of y'all know what that means. I mean, in the summer, very few of us venture to the beach unless we're going to our new citizen beach, but we try to stay out of the quagmire because for 8 weeks to 9 weeks, it's tough. All right, now I'm going to move into, if it's okay, a little bit about what we're, the Pirate Theater project and the process and everything about what could be. And this is not just about this particular piece of property. It's about any piece of property in town that might want to be developed. This is the process. And this is where you formulate, please formulate your questions, your thoughts, your comments as you understand, hopefully, again, and I don't mean condescending to anyone, but I don't know, but what I saw on social media was a lot of people did not understand the process. Planned unit development is a zoning designation for out-of-the-box projects. When you have black and white zoning ordinances, unique projects sometimes cannot fit into that box. That's why you have the PUD, but the PUD is strictly dependent upon mayor and council approval. It is never used, since we've been in office, I've been in office, it's never been used as a tool to subvert the zoning ordinances and increase density. It had been in the past. We do not do that and have never done that. There is always a public benefit when we use a PUD. Maybe minor, maybe major, but there's always a public benefit. Never guaranteed approval. Never guaranteed approval. No elected official, no planning commission member should ever commit to a yes or no vote prior to the public hearings. We all should be open-minded, walk into a public hearing not having made our mind up. Now, we can have feelings, but to go out and publicly lobby for or lobby against before the public hearing is wrong. I think it's unethical, and if that's something that you do, you need to stop. But I think our folks know better. They don't do that. I hope they don't. But so when you ask us, what are your thoughts? Are you for it, against it? We really shouldn't say until after the public hearings. Any modification of a PUD, once we approve a PUD, they don't get to do anything they want. They get to do exactly what we approved. And it is very, very specific. So if they want to come back and add something, modify something, change setbacks, whatever, it has to go through PUD modification protocol, which means it has to come back to the council for approval. So a PUD is not the Wild Wild West. It is very, very controlled. We've not done any upzoning for any type of zonings in 18 years. We've never taken a piece of residential property on the beach and turned it into a condo. Any condo you see going up now is on a piece of property that was owned condo 30 years ago. Now, there's not much left. Most of it is gone. But there's so much confusion out there about every condo being something new that we approved. No, we approved what they had a right to build and have had for 30 years. I got that. Unprecedented growth since Hurricane Sally and COVID. Most of y'all know the boomers are all retiring. Research shows they want to be within roughly 50 miles of some coastal area. The ability to work remotely. How many of y'all experienced that since COVID? Changed a lot. Geopolitical issues with crime and safety in big cities and not so big cities. How many people have you talked to is just getting out of town from those cesspools? Highly successful school system, it is a draw, a huge draw. Unprecedented federal government dollars after COVID created a giant funnels of money all over the country, and all of a sudden people had lots of money to spend, lots of money to buy, lots of places to go. So in some ways, we are victims of our own success because everyone wants to be here. So going forward, what are we doing? We're updating a comprehensive plan and zoning ordinances. Is that for me? All right, the moratorium. I don't know how many times I've heard over the years, y'all just need to put a moratorium in place and stop building. Okay, well, you can't do that. I mean, a moratorium is a very specific entity. You have to achieve a goal that is authorized statutorily for the public welfare that can't be achieved without the moratorium. You have to have a very specific time frame. You have to identify problems, create solutions, create a plan in the moratorium. That's what we're doing now with our moratorium. We're looking at discontinued growth. Okay, we brought in I saw this. They have a planner from Nashville planting Orange Beach. That's not true. We brought a consultant in from Nashville to help us fix our comp plan and zoning ordinances to help reduce growth. So we're looking at, with this type of residential growth, the moratorium is everything off the beach because that's almost all residential. What capital improvements are going to be needed to accommodate this unprecedented growth, which could be, believe it or not, including what we own, I'm sorry, what's in the city to the north, 40,000 people. 40,000 people, if everything was built out to the max. We're looking at runoff and drainage issues because we know in the city we've got a lot of flat areas. We got problems with this entity over here rolling this way. It's so flat, there's nothing we really can do to move it here or there. It's just very difficult to move water on this island. Economics and the cost of development, how that affects us financially. How does it affect the tax structure? I'll come back to that. The environmental and land resource or natural resources impact. And all of that's be looking at, hopefully in September it's going to be ended with the recommendations of what we can do to curb growth in a fair way and legal way. Possible zoning ordinance changes, some we've already done. Wetlands calculated density, for those who didn't know it, if you've got 40 acres and half of it is wetland, you used to could take the whole 40 acres to calculate your density. Now, we only allow you to calculate the density off of just the uplands of that 40 acres, not the entire 40 acres. So that reduces the density. We are trying to eliminate residential and general business. That's where you see a lot of townhomes. It should have never been in general business. General business is a zoning for revenue, and that's the way it should be. Reduction in density in multifamily outside of the beach overlay. Beach overlay is essentially the beach road, north and south. This is all north of that. So if it's, I'm throwing out arbitrary numbers. So let's just say it's 40 units per acre in a five-story multifamily building, we want to see can we reduce it to 20 units per acre. Got to see if we can or cannot, but that's what we're looking at. And all of our zoning ordinances are being reviewed, looked at, and see how they can be modified to do a better job of, again, mitigating unmitigated growth. Tax structure. We are wealthy because we have the beach, which is a multi-use zoning. You got ad valorem taxes, property taxes, you got retail, and you got lodging. They pay, that pays for itself. That pays for us. Residential, our residences, just ad valorem taxes, we try to do the research. We're such an anomaly. We're probably even further outside the norm. But in most cases, the resident demands more of the services of the city than the ad valorem actually pays for. And I've seen it very, very close to us. When you shut down your revenue sources and tap them down, and then you grow exponentially residential-wide, you end up $400 million in debt, and you end up with no surplus. So we have to pay attention to that tax structure balance between how much residential that's only property taxes versus the golden goose that's property, retail, and lodging. Defined by right. This is one of those terms that's out there that's been turned upside down in every imaginable way. But by right means anyone can make an application to develop a piece of property. All right, let me go through the process. The staff reviews for compliance based on the zoning. The Planning Commission then considers and approves or disapproves proposed development if it's been determined to comply with the zoning ordinance. Now, I misspoke there. The Planning Commission approves if a entity wants to develop this property and it's zoned residential, RS1, single family homes. Their plan matches up with every box that has to be checked off for that zoning. And by state law, it has to be approved. You cannot disapprove it for no reason. If you do, you're going to get sued and lose. That's case law over and over again. So that's what when we say by right, that means they are adhering to the current zoning ordinance, meeting all the criteria, and it doesn't even come to the council. It just goes to the Planning Commission. By right faux pas. I hesitated to put it in because I didn't want people to think I was trying to be biased, but it's still, it is real. And I want to show you what I mean by that. This is the property up on Canal Road where the brown fence is, where they've cleared all the trees. The first project was four single family homes, is what they wanted on there, but they wanted some vacation rentals. The neighbors were up in arms. For whatever reason, it didn't get passed. They came back with 15 homes, 12 of which would be vacation rentals. You see a good number of them were on the water. Neighbors got up in arms, and we kept warning them, if they come back by right, it's going to be a big difference. Didn't pass. So what you have today is by right. We never saw it. Just the Planning Commission. They checked off all the boxes, and now they have 76 single-family homes when they could have had four. So when you don't listen to what can be by right, you do that at your own peril. Again, don't mean you're wrong, because you may be wrong. You may be absolutely right in that incident. Another example is on Port Washington. The first proposal was 22 single-family homes, turned down by the neighbors. 24 single-family loans, the next proposal, turned down by the neighbors. The developer said, remember, at the bottom there, which is the south end, that was general business. You can do anything in general business. And the developer said, I'm trying not to make this high density. If you'll just let me have the 24 homes, I will not build townhouses or apartments in the general business. The neighbor says, no, we're not. He called their bluff. So that's why you have a single-family residence neighborhood right next to a whole bunch of townhomes that are essentially apartments. That, to me, was not smart. This is the Abbey Road development. I think a bunch of you in Bear Point or East Orange Beach are familiar with that. The request was for 33 single-family homes. It was a PUD. The glitch in it was that they were very close together, very, very crammed together. But it was zoned Marina Resort. Marina Resort is the most liberal of all zonings. You can do almost anything on Marina Resort that you don't go to jail for. So they said, no, we don't want it. It was too tight. It's too this. It's too that. He said, well, I tell you then, I'm going to build 100 apartment units because that's what I can do. And I can actually make more money doing that. Now, thank God, people came around and came to their senses, and they let the 33 homes go in there. But they were up in arms in Bear Point in Orange Beach about the thought of there being apartments in their part of town. Okay, this is Beaches RV. People talked about the KOA. It was approved in 2022. 171 spots, 342 vehicles is what we estimate would be when it's full. Approved by Planning Commission, but the developer disappeared. Never made it happen, so we don't know what happened. We never heard from them. All right, is this the RV part? Okay. All right, this is by right the RV park on that same 24 acres. You can see it's a 30-foot buffer in the rear. I mean, it essentially encompasses the entire piece of property. 198 spots with 16 vacation rental duplexes. There's a portion of that property that's called of its own neighborhood business. So you can put short-term rental duplexes down there. Man, you can't do that to me. All right.